Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is the fifth podcast that I've recorded, and I'm recording it in August of 2008. The title is The Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate. All of the material that on investing that appears at my website and that will appear in my book and that appears on these podcasts is the result of things I've learned about investing during the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate. I think it would be fair to characterize this debate as the most exciting and most controversial series of discussions ever held on the internet. I know that that sounds like a grand claim, possibly an egotistical claim, since I'm at the center of these discussions. I kicked them off, and I've been right in the middle of them from the first day. But I believe that statement is true. I believe that will hold up to scrutiny. We have had hundreds of thousands of posts put forward during the great debate. The issues that have been brought forward during the great debate have been the dominant focus of concern at over half a dozen different discussion boards at various times over the course of the past 6 years, and that's how long the debate has continued now. I put up the post that kicked off the great debate on the morning of May 13th, 2002. It is now August of 2008. The debate still rages on today with no signs of coming to an end anytime soon. I find all that extraordinary. I knew at the time I put up that first post that it was going to generate some controversy. I had no doubt in my mind. But in my mind at the time, a controversial post meant we would be discussing it at that discussion board. This was the Retire Early board at the Motley Fool site. At the time, my thought would have been we would be discussing this question for perhaps a week or perhaps a month. If you had told me a year, I would have told you you were out of your mind. It's now been over 6 years. We have a tiger by the tail. I'm sure of it. It's something else. The great safe withdrawal rate debate is something else. And as I say, it's both the most positive series of discussions ever held and at the same time, the most negative series of discussions ever held. It's an incredible combination of good and bad. I have never lived through a learning experience like this. I have learned, if you had told me back on the evening of May 12th, 2002, that I would someday be writing a book about investing, I would have told you you were crazy. I would have told you there's no way I would do it. It's not a subject that I would have said at the time could hold my interest long enough for me to put the work in that would be required to write a book. And the reason is I perceived investing the way most people perceive it, that it's a sort of dry topic. It's a topic for people interested in solving puzzles. It's all about analysis and strategy and mathematics, especially. Investing is a numbers game. And if you go to the bookstore and you look for books on investing, that's just what you'll find. You'll find discussions of logic and strategy and numbers and all this sort of thing. And while there's obviously benefit to that, and I certainly would never say different, it's not the type of thing that turns me on. I am much more of a people person. When I write I always have in my mind's eye a human being to whom I am directing those words. And it's usually a middle-class worker. When I write about saving, what turns me on is the thought that there's a middle-class worker out there somewhere who could achieve more with his or her life if he or she knew how to save effectively. And so I think about that person. I try to be as concrete as I can about it. What problems are they facing in their life? What are their concerns? What are their troubles? And how can they get from where they are to where they want to be? And how would that change their life? How would that enhance their enjoyment of life? And while I certainly have always admired people who offered investing advice for the good that they do, it's not the type of thing that I would have thought I would be good at. And so it's not something I had any intention of writing about in any sustained sort of way. When I was writing the first book on saving, I believed that I would have to include a chapter in that book on investing. One of the 12 chapters would be on investing, and that was my plan. And I was saving that for last because it's the topic that held the least interest for me. Now, what has happened is I've gone through this incredible experience, this great safe withdrawal rate debate. And if you look at my website today, I have a blog where each business day I put forward a new blog entry. And what you will see is almost all of them, 80% of them today, deal with investing. It's not because I have nothing more I want to say in the area of saving. It's because there are new ideas coming into my head. Every day I wake up in the morning with new ideas and I scribble them down in a notebook and I have new blog entries I need to write, new podcasts I need to record, new articles I need to put together for the site, new sections of my book. What has happened during the great debate is we've just opened up a whole area for investigation and exploration that has generally been closed until now. And it's all entirely amazing and remarkable. But this has been my life for the last 6 years, and these are the realities. As I mentioned, the debate has continued now for over 6 years. It's been the dominant focus of discussion at over half a dozen discussion boards at various times. There have been hundreds of thousands of posts generated. In response to a very simple question that I put forward in a post at Motley Fool on May 13th, 2002. And that question, in essence, was, do valuation levels affect long-term returns? That really is what all of the hundreds of thousands of posts are about. Do valuation levels affect long-term returns? And we've come up with two answers. One answer is yes, they obviously do, and they emphatically do. We have never had anyone in those hundreds of thousands of posts make a reasoned argument that valuations do not affect long-term returns. Yes, I can say this with total confidence, 99.99999% sure, valuations affect long-term returns. I've never found anyone to dispute it. There is no argument that the human mind can conceive of that would argue otherwise. Valuations do indeed affect long-term returns. So we've answered the question, right? Why is there a debate, much less a great debate? Shouldn't it all have been settled in the first day? If human beings were rational actors, it all would have been settled the first day. There never has been a debate on the substance of that initial question. None whatsoever. But the second big answer we've come up with to the question, do valuations affect long-term returns, is the first answer is yes, they do. The second answer is, but no, we can't talk about it. You can't talk about that. That's a strange answer. It's not an answer I was expecting to hear when I put forward that first post, but it is that second answer that is really the focus of the great debate rather than the first one. The first one is an important finding, but it's so obvious, so painfully obvious that I don't really consider it that much of a breakthrough. But the breakthrough is that second one, which is the emotional response, not the rational response. The first response is a rational response. Yes, obviously, valuations do affect long-term returns. The second one is the emotional response. No, we can't talk about it. Keep that hushed up. And I have taken the view that that second answer, which some have put forward, is incorrect. My view is quite the contrary. My view is, yes, we need to talk about it. And every time someone says, no, let's not talk about it, I feel all the stronger that we must talk about it. And so now perhaps you understand why I am writing a book on investing, whereas I never would have thought I would have done such a thing. Because what we have learned during the Great Debate is that investing is not what we thought it was. It's not this rational endeavor. It's not puzzle solving. It's not a question of getting the numbers right. It's not a question of reading the smartest people in the field and learning from them. It's an emotional project. Investing is primarily an emotional endeavor. I would say it's 70% emotional and 30% rational. You can dispute me on that. You could argue it's 50-50. I don't have any problem with that. It's hard to say. But emotions are clearly a big, big, big part of the story. And if you look at the investing literature, what you'll find is 90% of the investing literature deals with the rational part of investing and only 10% with the emotional side. And so what we have is this great imbalance. We have tons of material on how to invest available in bookstores and in libraries and on the internet. But only a tiny sliver of that material deals with the most important questions, which are the emotional questions. They are the drivers. And just to give you one outstanding example of this, John Walter Russell's research, his research is the engine of all the good stuff that has been developed during the Great Debate. His research is published at his website, which is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. John has been doing research on safe withdrawal rates and on the general question of how valuations affect long-term returns on a full-time basis for over 6 years now. I have called his website the most exciting website on the internet today. And I think that, again, I think that stands up to scrutiny. It's a bold claim, but if you check it out, I think you will find that that claim holds water. But the problem we have is not that John's material isn't as wonderful could be. And many people have, of course, recognized that. If you read the letters to the editor section there, you will see that many people see how wonderful his work is. But many people have not discovered it. And why haven't they discovered it? Because the way a website is discovered is when people talk about it, when people link to it in their blogs and things of that nature. Many people look at John's website and they have the same reaction that they had during our discussions of safe withdrawal rates. They say, no, we can't talk about this. So, and that even includes on an individual basis. In other words, it's not only that people say others shouldn't talk about this. They say, I shouldn't talk about it. I shouldn't explore it. They close their eyes. They put their fingers in their ears. They run away. They don't want to know what the research says. They don't want to know what the historical data says. Well, if you're trying to put together an investing strategy, which is more important, that you have good, accurate information available to you, or that you make use of that good, accurate information? Obviously, you need both. You need to have the material available, but you also need to make use of it. And we have it available today to us. That's the wonderful side of the story. But it's a limited number of people who today are able to make use of it. And on the one hand, that's a very sad reality. You know, it's very unfortunate that many people are losing money in stocks and have been losing money for 9 years now. And many people are likely going to lose a lot more in days to come, to be sure. And that's, of course, hard to take. It's hard to accept. But The other side of the story is that for these past 6 years, we have been building the foundation for a new way to invest so that when people are hurt enough that the defensiveness and the resistance to hearing the realities breaks down, we will have 6 years of work already done in the development and in the discovery of a new approach to investing that will replace the failed passive investing model, the model that is dominant today. So I don't want to sugarcoat the realities. I don't want to tell you there's nothing dark or sad or difficult to take in the story that I tell in these podcasts and in the articles at my site. There is very much a dark side that we're living through today. But it's like humans, you know? Think of people and, you know, tell me, is there anyone you've ever known who was perfect in every way, who had no dark side? There is no such person. But is there anyone you've ever known who was pure evil? It's a rare person who is pure evil as well. Most people do have a dark side. Most people do have good in them. And that comes out in investing, because investing is, it's a people enterprise. Stock prices are set by humans. It's set by people. And so that's really what you need to understand. In order to understand investing, you have to understand how people work. And so one of the things you need to learn, one of the lessons we've learned from watching the great safe withdrawal rate unfold, is that people can go to horrible, horrible negative extremes. And that's what we saw in the 1990s when prices just went to insane levels. People can do things that you wouldn't believe they were capable of doing. But people can then also recover from that. So we're now at a stage where prices are going down. And one of the stages that is ahead of us is the stage at which people give up on stocks, which really means giving up on people. They're giving up on their fellow investors. They're saying, I've lost too much money. I want nothing to do with this. I wash my hands of it. I'll never own stocks again for the rest of my life. And I will argue that that's a mistake, a very, very big mistake. Because as bad as people can be on the one extreme, where they let prices go to the insane levels they went in the 1990s, people always have within them a desire for truth and a desire for reality and a desire for honesty. That's also a reality that we shouldn't overlook. And what we are seeing today is that we are trying to get closer to that place. We are working our way back to reality and back to honesty. And we're not there, but we're on our way. And that's the uplifting part of this story. And when we get to a point where prices are really low, I hope that we'll be able to get the message out to people who are giving up on stocks that, no, you shouldn't give up any more than you would give up on people. What you need to do is not to give up, which is just the flip side of that, of the coin, of the passive investing coin. Passive investing leads us to saying we're going to stick with our stock allocations no matter how high prices get. And then a few years later, we're abandoning stocks. We'll never be in stocks again. That's two sides of the same hyper-emotional coin. What we need to do is have a new coin. What we need to do is have a rational investing coin where we look at how stock investing really works and where we include the human side of the investing story in our understanding of how stock investing works. So the great debate has obviously been about safe withdrawal rates. The safe withdrawal rate is a number that is used by retirement planners to tell people how much they can afford to take out of their portfolios after they retire. And the safe withdrawal rate, there have been studies done on this, and the conclusion that these people have come to is that we can always afford to take 4% out. And that means, for example, if you had $1 million portfolio, you could live on $40,000 adjusted for inflation and be virtually certain your retirement would survive 30 years. And this advice, these studies, are used in almost every article on retirement that you see anywhere. In some way. And all of these studies are wrong. It's simply not so. The way the studies say it is that the safe withdrawal rate is a stable number. It is always 4%. The reality is that valuations affect long-term returns, and that means that the valuation level that applies at the starting date of the retirement always affects the safe withdrawal rate that applies for that retirement. So if we were at moderate valuations, the safe withdrawal rate would indeed be something in the neighborhood of 4%. But if we go to very high valuations like we did in the late 1990s, the safe withdrawal rate can drop much, much lower than that. The lowest it ever dropped was in January of 2000, when the safe withdrawal rate for a high stock allocation portfolio was 1.6%. And conversely, the at times of low valuations, the safe withdrawal rate goes much higher than 4%. And about the lowest valuation we ever see is a valuation level where the safe withdrawal rate would be 9% per year. So in that case, if you had a portfolio valued at $1 million, you could take out $90,000 per year for 30 years and be virtually certain that your retirement would survive. So look at the difference. Instead of the safe withdrawal rate always being 4%, no matter what, we now know that the safe withdrawal rate is sometimes as low as 1.6% and sometimes as high as 9%. The strategic implications are huge, because what this tells us is we have to pay attention to valuations in order to invest successfully for the long term. And of course, the passive investing model, which is the dominant model of today, tells us not to do that. All of the advice under the passive investing model says ignore valuations, stocks for the long run. It doesn't say stocks for the long run unless valuations get to such and such a level. Timing is impossible. Well, if timing were impossible, there'd be no purpose in paying attention to valuations. So that gets thrown out if you accept that valuations affect long-term returns. Buy and hold. If you listen to the first podcast, you know why the conventional approach to buy and hold cannot work. Buy and hold is an extremely good concept, and implement it properly, it is the secret to successful investing. But as buy and hold is usually implemented today and usually recommended today, it not only may not work, it cannot work. It cannot work. It has never worked historically and never will. Stay the course has a completely different meaning in a world in which you understand that the safe withdrawal rate goes from a low of 1.6 to a high of 9%. In that sort of world, what you want to be doing is shifting your stock allocation so that you don't have the same stock allocation at times of extreme high stock prices as you do at times of extreme low stock prices. So what happened in the safe withdrawal rate debate is that we started out with what I thought was a very simple question. And the history of this is just that I was putting together my own retirement plan back in the mid-1990s. And I wanted to be sure I was, it's not a full retirement. I still need to bring in money to cover my bills. But what I was trying to do was make a shift from corporate employment as a corporate journalist to freelance writing, where the income potential would be much greater, but much less reliable. And I wanted to be sure that I had saved enough that I could cover my family's basic expenses. And I have my wife is a stay-at-home mom for our two boys, and I have two boys, age 8 and 6, and she also homeschools our boys. So I had to be sure before I handed in my resignation that we had saved enough. And I looked at these safe withdrawal rate studies, and I happened at that time to read John Bogle's first book, Common Sense on Mutual Funds, and Bogle explains how a stock return is generated, where the numbers come from. And this is of tremendous benefit. I highly recommend that you go and read what Bogle says about this, and you don't have to get the book. Bogle talks about where stock returns come from all the time in his speeches. So if you go to Google and you enter in a search for John Bogle and speeches, you will go to a website that includes the text of a lot of his speeches. And if you read a few of those, you are sure to come across one in which Bogle talks about what determines stock returns. And many people seem to think that stock returns are random, that they're just sort of numbers that fall from the sky. This is not at all true. Stock returns are to some extent random. There's no question. But to a large extent, stock returns are determined by the valuation level that applies at the time you enter the stock investment. And Bogle explained this in his book. And as soon as I read that, a light bulb went off in my head. And I said, wait a minute, the safe withdrawal rate cannot possibly be the same number at all valuation levels. And so I knew back in the mid-1990s that these studies were all flawed. The methodology used was simply inaccurate. And I wrote about that in a post to the Motley Fool discussion board on early retirement on May 13th, 2002. And we had just an explosion of interest. And there's an article at my site, I think it's entitled Community Comments on the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate. It's at the Banned at Motley Fool section of the site. And you can read a lot of the comments that people filed in the early days of the discussions, and you can see how excited people were. It seems like such a simple thing to just say, oh, there's an error in these safe withdrawal rate studies. It just seems that you would point it out and people would either see that you were right or that you were wrong, and that would be the end of the discussion. But what we really did when we discovered the errors in the safe withdrawal rate studies is we essentially we set off a nuclear explosion in the investing world, among the people at least that are familiar with our discussions. And the reason is it's valuations are the most, your stock allocation is the most important decision you make as an investor. And the question of whether valuations affects your long-term return or not determines whether you need to change your stock allocation or leave it stable. So that's the most fundamental question imaginable. It's just the bedrock issue of how to be a successful long-term investor. So much like, you know, in the material world, everything is made up of atoms. You split the atom, you split the smallest unit, you cause this massive explosion. In the investing world, if you change our understanding of how you set your stock allocation, you change everything. Every strategy that anyone discusses is changed as a result of what we have learned during the Great Debate. And that's why you get extreme reactions to it. On the one hand, we hear people saying, this is the most exciting discussion I've ever heard. I'm learning so much. And I've received many emails or comments on boards to that effect. But on the other hand, you get this reaction of anger and hate and fury and rage. And we get a lot of that. We get a lot of that. And we've had many discussion boards now at which the posting on the realities of safe withdrawal rates has been banned. It has been banned. It's honest discussion of safe withdrawal rates has been banned at Motley Fool. It's been banned at Morningstar.com. It's been banned at IndexUniverse.com. It's been banned at Financial Web Ring Forum. It's been banned at Early Retirement Forum. It's been banned at Bogleheads.com. Why? You know, this is incredible. I never could have believed that honest discussion of a number that people use to plan their retirements could be banned at an investing board. It's banned because there are several reasons. One, it's such an important issue. If people get their retirement numbers wrong, they suffer one of the worst life setbacks imaginable. So it's a critically important issue. Two, it's an objective issue. There's not a question of opinion here. What the safe withdrawal rate is calculated. It's a numerical calculation. So there really is no dispute over who is right and who is wrong. Anyone who questions can just look at the data themselves. And three, it has implications reaching into every area of investing. So if we were to accept that the safe withdrawal rate studies are wrong, the old school studies are wrong, then we have to change every aspect of the advice we give on investing. We have to flip to a new investing model. We need to discard the old discredited passive investing model and begin work on a new model. And I call this model rational investing. So all of the material you see at my website and that you'll read in my book and that I'll discuss in these podcasts It all has to do with the development of this new model of investing that I call rational investing. And that starts with the opposite premise of the passive investing model. Instead of starting from the premise that valuations have zero effect on long-term returns, or that the effect of valuations on long-term returns does not need to be taken into consideration in developing investing strategies, the rational model that I have put forward as the replacement for the passive investing model starts with the premise that valuations do affect long-term returns, and that the effect of valuations on long-term returns must be taken into consideration in the development of all investing strategies and all stock allocation decisions. So when you change the starting point, you change everything about the investing experience. So that's what the Great Debate is about. And it's the best of internet debates in terms of the substance, in terms of what we have developed, the insights we have developed together. It is also the worst in that we have seen the worst, darkest side of human nature evidence itself in the efforts of some to shut down these discussions so that they don't need to look at things they've gotten wrong in their understanding of how stock investing worked in the past. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.